Cornwall's four Labour MPs have been for quite some time now pitching to the Treasury this idea of an industrial growth fund covering Cornwall's distinctive and core sectors, some of the most promising industries in our economy. We've already had a lot of investment from the likes of the National Wealth Fund, from private investors too, in industries like critical minerals. But what we're trying to do here is really get down to every layer of the Cornish economy and get those SMEs that support some of those really promising industries roaring and get the support that they need and the investment into the sectors.
When announcements are made by governments of all colours, it's money that's being re-announced. Can you assure us that this is the case? This is new money coming to Cornwall, essentially new?
Yeah, this is new. This is a completely bespoke deal for Cornwall. We did get hold of the Red Book earlier and just double check that this was all fresh money, and had a bit of a scare when we realised that some of it was coming from spending review money that had been allocated elsewhere but not spent earlier in the year. But yeah, it's all fresh money that's completely new and bespoke for Cornwall.
What of the Shared Prosperity Fund? So that's coming to an end, and this new money, is that replacing that essentially?
Well, this is going to be very different. This is a whole new approach, and I think personally a much more mature and commercial approach, which I think is what the public want to see being done with their public money, right? The idea here is that we invest this and we recoup those investments after a few years, returning that money to taxpayers' pockets, but ultimately being able to recycle it back into future economic development projects within the fund. So it's a completely different approach to shared prosperity. I think as valuable as shared prosperity was, it did sometimes rankle the taxpayer to see their money being given to XYZ private sector projects, or perhaps, you know, very good community projects, but not necessarily with a real kind of commercial lens on some of those things. And don't get me wrong, there's a time and a place for all of those approaches, social investment or hard-nosed commercial investment and everything in between, right? But I think that the difference here is that we know we live in a resource constrained, a world of constrained resources. And I think the British taxpayer, let alone the Cornish taxpayer, are very discerning right now about how we invest their money. So it's a real investment-based approach rather than just spending money.
And what would you say to people who are critical of the Chancellor after the budget, who feel that they're going to be paying more in taxes in all different directions after reassurance that last year's budget would be the one where, you know, she comes asking for more money from the public? People now might feel that they've got to pay more. What would you offer in reassurance to them?
Yeah, well, I'd be interested. Obviously, we're only 2 hours out from the announcement, so there's a bit of digestion of that to take place. Be interested to hear what your viewers think, and obviously very keen to hear if they want to write to me about it. So you can write to me at noah.law.mp@parliament.uk, and very happy to answer questions on the budget. I think fair to say the mood music, despite how doom and gloom it has been at various points over the last couple of months, is a little bit more positive than it was last year. And I think that really speaks to the attention to detail on some of the changes that the Chancellor has put into this, because I think with every single decision, every single tweak to the way that taxes work this time, she's really put a lot of attention to who bears the burden of doing that. And we have focused our efforts on raising revenues from the wealthier by and large. You can see that if you look at the distributional impact of the budget across different income levels. So you can see that on HM Treasury's website if you Google HM Treasury distribution analysis. But obviously what matters is how people feel it in their pockets at the end of the day. And that's why we've left the taxes alone that we've said we'd leave alone. It's really important that we honour that commitment not to raise NI, not to raise income tax, not to raise VAT. And I wrote to the Chancellor to say, look, please let us stick to our commitment through all of that, because it's really important that we keep that trust with the public. So it's been a sort of, some people have described it as a smorgasbord or a Scrabble bag of different options. But I think through each of those, the Chancellor has been looking to see, okay, who bears the impact of this? Have they got the sort of resources to do that? We all know we need to invest more in our NHS. We all know we need to invest in initiatives like we have done to, for example, freeze rail fares, or, you know, commit to the triple lock, raising the pension, the state pension, which in our country is woefully low. But to pay for that, well, such that the money has to come from somewhere, right? Because we're not going to allow debt to balloon over time. So we're going to cut that. We're going to cut the cost of living. We're going to cut NHS waiting lists, and we're going to get the debt down as well. So she's managed to do all of that, I think, in a way that doesn't, you know, leave one group or the other high and dry. It's very much the wealthier people that will be footing the burden of that.
Yeah, there's just one other question, which was about the minimum wage Treasury announcement. Actually, for small businesses, and you know, you speak to the small business people in UKIP, they in effect have to fund those minimum wage increases. Many of them feel that last year's minimum wage increases clobbered them. Is it fair on businesses to keep asking them to pay more when the economy is struggling and people aren't necessarily spending as they were?
Yeah, I think that's actually the crucial point, is we've got to get people back on their feet spending as they were. We've got to remember that people on minimum wage are consumers as well. And they, if they have that money in their pockets, are going to hopefully go out and spend it and circulate it back around in the economy. So, and we know factually that is what happens when you put money back in the pockets of most people. Whereas if you put money back in the pockets of the very wealthiest, there isn't that evidence, that same what we call marginal propensity to consume, right? So we are doing the right thing to put more money in the pockets of working people, particularly on minimum wage. And obviously a lot of my constituents who are on minimum wage will be really pleased to hear that. But I do speak to businesses as well. We've got to be careful. It is a balance to strike. And I think, you know, the increases that we've seen sort of going up 50p at a time, I think it's a reasonable balance. Businesses will have to find a way to you know, manage that cost. But ultimately, the tail's got to wag the dog, right? You've got to be making sure that you're paying for staff who are delivering for you, which is why we've got this huge focus on skills. And that's really important that we get skills for the all year round visitor economy and that training in place in Cornwall, because we've got to reinvest in our population as well. We can't be this kind of bargain basement economy, this low wage, low productivity economy. We've got to raise standards across the bar, and we've got to raise consumers' purchasing power, which minimum wage does as well.